Well, thankful to be here this morning and certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning that the Lord would have his way. I've got some thoughts on my heart and pray the Lord would help me to relay them in a way that would be pleasing to him and edifying to all of us. What I'm thinking about this morning is the word fervent. When we think of that word fervent, what do we think about? I was looking it up and seeking out a definition for it, and fervent is intense or on fire, hot, passionate. I don't know if you could maybe even say zealous in a sense of a good sense. Fervency. Being on fire. And I don't believe that this word is trying to depict just pure emotion like fervency and that we're out of control emotionally or just raw emotional passion. But I think it goes much deeper than that. It's a depth of heart. Fervency. Deepness within us. And so I have a few examples where this word is used. And I'd like to start in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. When it says unfeigned love, that's sincere love. That's not made up love, or that's not love that is on the surface or for visible benefit. But it's a love that is within. And so I go back to this word fervent, that it's much more than a passion. It's much more than just an emotion, because you might say to love fervently is to say that we love each other passionately, almost like a romantic love. But that's not what this word is talking about. It's having a depth of love for one another, a sincerity of love, a deep care for one another. And I'm reminded of the scriptures where it says, they shall know you by the love that we present one another. Fervent love. Not a surface kind of love, but a deep love for one another, a deep concern or care for one another, that the Lord would have us be fervent in our hearts toward one another in love. 1 Peter 4 and 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The Lord wants us to have fervent love among each other. I don't know how really to explain what I'm trying to say with regards to this word fervent and how deep it goes. I feel like it goes much deeper than even what we may know at this point, where we can say, I love you. I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, Lord, yes, I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And he told him that three times. Do you love me, Peter? And I almost sense that the depth of that went deeper each time Jesus asked him, do you love me, Peter? And he finally said, Lord, you know. Yes, I love you. And I feel like the same can be true of us in our love one to another. I could ask you, do you love me? And you could tell me yes. But if I was to ask you again, do you love me? I believe that you can search within your heart and find the ability within yourself to allow that love to go just a little deeper. To be a little more fervent, if you will. A little more hot. A little more intense. And that's what the Lord wants us to have, one to another. A fervency and a heat in how we love or care for one another. Another example of this word being used is in Acts. Chapter 18. This is referring to Apollos preaching at Ephesus. We can start in verse 24. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Now I think of this man, and it says that he was very eloquent in the scriptures, so he knew the word of God, but he still had a limited understanding of what he knew, because it says that he only knew the baptism of John. Well, a lot more had taken place since John's baptism, and the Lord had done great things in bringing about the gospel and the Holy Spirit into the lives of men and women. But this man had a fervency in delivering God's word. A passion to get God's word out. A passion to get the gospel to souls in need. A desire to spread the truth. He had something that people needed. He had something that they gravely needed. And he knew they needed it. And I feel like that is what enabled him to have such a fervent desire to spread the gospel. To see souls delivered. Do you know that we live in a world today that needs the gospel? And I'm not talking about a feigned gospel or a watered down gospel, but they need the truth. They need to know the truth. Whether they're going to receive the truth or not, they need to know the truth. So that when they reach the judgment, there's no excuses, no, well, I didn't know that. No, this is the truth. Walk ye therein. People need to hear God's word. How will they hear unless someone preach it? A fervent desire for those in need to have their needs met. I'll have to tell you that when I was going through these scriptures and thinking about fervency, where's my fervency, Lord? Where's the depth of what I have? How far does it go? How deep does it go? Where am I at? Am I fervently desiring souls to be saved, to be delivered? That fervency is taken out in action. When you're fervent and you're hot for people to receive God's word and to receive the gospel, to have salvation brought into their hearts, for the Spirit of God to come upon them, to help them to live. If that is our passion and that is our desire to see that take place, it's going to come out in action. We're going to be about God's business. We're going to seek those souls out. We're going to want them to hear the truth, because we know that the truth shall set them free. We know that the truth can deliver them. And so we want them to have it. We have a fervent desire that they just need to hear the truth. They just need to know that God loves them and cares for them, that He's prepared a way for them to be saved and delivered, to be with Him for eternity. He's preparing a place for them that they can dwell with Him forever. It's good news. And we want people to know it. We want them to hear it. We want them to have their needs met. So many people are wandering around. I was just in town the other day, and I was driving. I saw two young ladies walking. I think they were probably coming home from school. And a thought occurred to me, do they know about Jesus? You know, when I was growing up, that was kind of a dumb question to ask that. Surely everybody knows about Jesus. Do they? No. I really don't think they do. And that was what struck me when I saw these young ladies. And the thought occurred to me that they may not even know who Jesus is, yet alone what he did and what they can have. And that hurt me. It bothered me. Because what am I doing about that? What am I doing about it? It's one thing to say, well, somebody ought to do something. Yeah, that's true. But what are you going to do about it? Help me, Lord. This isn't a message of punishment to us or a message of trying to condemn us in any way of what we're lacking, but it's a message to help us increase our fervency. So that we can be about God's business. So that we can prioritize our own lives for what is really important. I mean, when it's all said and done, what's really important? Eternity. Eternity with God, that's really what's important. I mean, we sang the song, you know, bitter and sweet. You know, really, none of this stuff really makes a big difference. It does temporally. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. If we can only be saved and delivered and live for God, that's what really matters. And that is what we want to relay to other people. And I believe for us to do that, we have to be fervent in our hearts. Let's go to James. Chapter 5. We often look at these scriptures in James, and I'm sorry, but we're going to look at them again. God's word is powerful and it's alive and it can do something every time. James chapter 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I was thinking about these scriptures, and obviously we're talking about fervency, and so we're talking about fervent prayer. A prayer that goes before God that isn't just it's deeper than just a request. It's deeper than that. It's not that we don't come to the Lord with our requests and our prayers, and I would say that we would have to come to God in prayer no matter how we feel about it. And let God give you fervency in your prayer as you're praying. But I was thinking about these scriptures, and I always look at how it says, confess your faults one to another. And I think about how easily people shrink back from that. I don't really want to tell you what it is. I just want you to pray for me. I don't really want to get in the depths of it. I just want you to pray. And I know that has its place. Don't get me wrong. I understand that there are such things as unspoken requests. And I'm not trying to diminish that. But I also believe the Lord is telling us that there's a benefit and confessing one to another. And I'm going to go back to the fervent love that we have one to another that enables us to do that. Enables us to be able to share the depths of what's going on really in our hearts and in our lives with one another. Because we have a fervent love for each other, a sincere, unfeigned love to one another. That we realize that we can do that. And it's a safe place to do it. But the Lord says to confess your faults one to another. And I think about this, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to talk about me. When I know what the request is, and I know and can sense and understand the severity of it, or the immense need of it, if you will, it helps me be more fervent in my prayer for you. When I can get into the depths of it and see and experience what you're experiencing, it's in your heart, but you're asking me to pray. And when I can experience what's going on in your heart and understand the depths of the need that you have and how passionate and fervent you are about it, it helps me to be fervent too. And have a depth within myself that I want you to get your need met. I want you to receive what it is that you need. But when I don't really know what it is, I can pray and I can try and ask the Lord to help me. But I feel like there's a depth that takes place in knowing our needs when we go before God in prayer. Whether it be for someone else or for ourselves. I really believe that it's important for us to go to God with questions about what our needs are. Because we can pray for ourselves, and I suggest that you do it if you don't. Pray for yourself too. It's a benefit to pray for one another and pray for intercessory prayers. That's wonderful. Very needed. But do not forget to pray for yourself. And ask the Lord to help you know what your needs are. And I'm not talking about just all the time physical needs, although we have those. Financial needs, whatever those might be. But to really get in with God and find out what our needs are spiritually. Where we can say, Lord, I'm seeing a lack here. Lord, I'm seeing a need for me to be more fervent in my desire to serve you and to serve others. To be about ministering for you. Help me, Lord, to get to the depths of that. That's something that I can pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be fervent in this. Because I know the need is there. And I think the Lord helps our fervency when we know how big the need is. Like I said, it was an eye-opener to me to see those young ladies walking down the street and oblivious to the fact that there is a Jesus who wants to save their soul. He wants to deliver them from their lifestyles. And understanding that need helps me to be fervent. Lord, help me to be fervent. Not just right now for 5 minutes, but let it be on the forefront of my mind. Let it go before me. Wherever I might go, when I go to work or when I go to go shopping for whatever, let it go before me that I see the need. And let me be willing and have a passion, a desire to meet those needs. To point those people to Jesus. Genesis chapter 33. I always love this particular passage. Genesis 32. Maybe I said 30 or 23, but it's actually 32. Genesis 32, starting at verse 23. So I'm gonna lead us into this. This is the story of Jacob. And he's went away and he's got himself a family and children and livestock, and he's on his way back. And he knows that he's going to have to face his brother Esau. The one he connived, if you will, or manipulated, or basically stole from him. And he knows he's going to have to come and meet his brother. And Jacob has a concern about that. And so this is where we are. Jacob has sent his family and his children and his wives across, I believe it was maybe the Jordan River. Don't quote me on that, but he sent them across the river and he stayed on the other side. Verse 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he had saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let ye go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." I look at this passage and I think about, again, Jacob knew his need. And he knew that it was a big one. I'm going to go meet Esau, and I know this is not good. I did not treat Esau well. Esau wanted to kill him before he left. And so he certainly believes that that's got to be true still. And so he's passionate about it. He's concerned in the depths of his soul about it. And so he's going before God, is how I interpret this, of him wrestling with himself, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with God, whatever. He's wrestling, in my opinion, in prayer about it. "I will not give in or quit unless you bless me. I will not stop until I receive the answer to my prayer." And that is the fervency that we need to have before God. When we realize a need within ourselves, and I'm going to go to our spiritual needs, and we see a spiritual need within ourselves, that we wouldn't just get up and walk away without having received what we needed. But that we would be fervent in our prayer, unwavering, unwilling to give up until our need was met. That is what Jacob did. I love it when he says, "I will not let you go." No, I'm not letting you go. I need this, and I need it right now, and I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until I know that I have what it is I need. May the Lord help us to go before Him like that. When we know that it's something that God wants us to have, may the Lord help us to be fervent about it. Because he may need us to be fervent about it. He may need us to want it that bad. He may need us to have it stirred up within us. So that when we do get it, we appreciate it so much more. Lord, help us to see our need. I believe that Jacob's strength in prayer was partially because he knew how bad he needed it. And I think the same is going to be true for us when we see how badly our need is. It's going to help us to bring it before God fervently. Luke chapter 18. Another example, in my opinion, of one being fervent. Started in verse 2 saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Isn't God so much more going to give unto us? Because he's not that unjust judge. He's not withholding what is necessary to us. He wants to give it to us. But this widow unwaveringly continued to go before the judge. I wonder how often we fall short in our request before God because we stop praying. We give up. We think, well, I've prayed about it a lot already, and nothing has happened, and we just give up. May the Lord help us not to do that, but to continue to come before Him, continue to present it to Him, allow Him to continue to speak to us, and maybe He'll reveal to us what our real need is. And maybe we're presenting something to Him and He's wanting us to learn and to receive instruction and understanding about ourselves or about the situation. Or maybe He's making preparations so that He can answer it and it'll be at an appropriate time. But may the Lord help us not to give in or to just give up. Especially for those loved ones that we pray for and ask God to save them. That it would remain tender upon our hearts, our prayer before God, to really fulfill that need. Not just us fulfilling an obligation that I'm just going to keep praying for them because I ought to. But to pray expecting God to answer. Praying that God would meet their need. Luke chapter 11. Starting in verse 5, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, so Jesus tells him this, and then he's going to relate it to something. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we read all of this to come down to this last scripture, which is really the need. God's Spirit within us. How is it that God is going to have us ask for this and not give it to us? But we have to know we need it. Not just, I know it and I'm going to ask for it on the surface of my mind, but a deep knowledge that I need God's Spirit in my heart and in my life. You know, if we're going to live above sin and we're going to live in accordance to God's Word, we need God's Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in us. And so I think of that one who's seeing their need. Because they want to be obedient to God's Word. They want to do what God is telling them to do. And they haven't yet gained the victory over that thing. But by God's Spirit, we can have the victory if we will fervently seek the Lord in prayer. A prayer that doesn't give up praying. A prayer that sincerely expects to receive the need. Because we know that it's God's will. We don't have to have a debate whether or not it's God's will for us to have His Spirit. We know He wants us to have His Spirit. And so if we're not having victory, we're not being victorious in our lives, then pray to God. Pray fervently because of your need. Because it is absolutely necessary that we have God's Spirit in us. I was thinking about the fervent prayer of one seeking after salvation. I don't know about your experience, but when you became aware of your need to be saved, I imagine there was a fervency in your heart, a desire within you that I got to get to the Lord. I got to get this forgiveness of sins. I got to get this deliverance from the sin that so easily besets me, or the weight of the guilt of this conviction that's on me. I got to get free of it. And maybe you ran down to the altar, and that prayer that you prayed was a fervent prayer of salvation. Because of your need. Because you knew that you needed it. And I was thinking, I hope I got the right scripture here. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so that fervent sorrow that I'm talking about, that they come to the altar with and they realize that they're condemned to hell because of the life that they're living, and they realize it and the Lord has revealed it to them and they bring it before God, a godly sorrow, not just a sorrow that wants to be free of the condemnation, but a sorrow that really feels like they did it wrong. Not just trying to fulfill a commitment of a child being told to say they're sorry, and they say, I'm sorry. But it's really feeling sorry. It's really understanding and knowing that what they did was wrong. A godly sorrow, a realization that we know that we're justly condemned before God because of what we've done. Then he tells them, "For behold, this same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort." He's telling them, you all have sorrowed after a godly sort. "What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." When they were able to see their need, it wrought in them a vehement desire to have that need met, to have the deliverance that they needed. A zeal, if you will, to have it met. May the Lord help us to have a fervent desire to serve Him and to live for Him. A fervent desire to have our needs met, spiritually and physically. A desire to see souls delivered and freed from the bondage of sin, because we know where they're headed and what fate they will endure if they don't get saved. So I was thinking about how we need fervency. In a passage of scripture came to mind in 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 13. Starting in verse 14. "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, 'Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And Elisha said unto him, 'Take bow and arrows.' And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Put thine hand upon the bow.' And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the window eastward.' And he opened it. And Elisha said, 'Shoot.' And he shot. And he said, 'The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, 'Smite upon the ground.' And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, 'Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice.'" I was thinking about this passage, and it almost represents to me a lack of fervency, a lack of vehement desire or passion. And it exemplifies the willingness to give up before the victory is really won. I pray that the Lord would help us to fight until the finish. To be like Jacob and say, I will not let you go. I will not quit. I will not surrender. I will not stop praying and seeking God for this. I will not relent. But I'm going to continue on in this fight until the victory is won. The Lord wants us to be fervent in our prayers, in our love one to another, in our passion for His work. I pray the Lord would give it to us. I sincerely ask your prayers because I want to be fervent for God. I don't want to walk by people on the streets and think of how they don't know Jesus and yet not be willing to do something about it. And I pray the Lord would help me to know how I can be of service to Him in any way to do something about it, that people could know the sweet joy of our Savior, Jesus. We can sit in here and say, you know what, just give me Jesus. But somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know what comes with salvation, that sounds ridiculous to them. To them, they want a pile of money. Or they want assets or something. Just give me Jesus. What are you talking about? Who's Jesus? Because they don't know, they don't understand the depths of the riches that come through Christ. Help us, Lord, to tell them and to help them to see it. I appreciate your prayers. I thank you all for your time and attention this morning. May the Lord help us to be fervent for His cause and for one another. Please pray for me that I would be fervent for the Lord.